The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today, Friday, third day of August, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 250 points, S&P up 28, comp up 63, gold up $16, crude up $4.18 a barrel. Blowing them up on Wall Street, big day. That's an hourly chart you can see up on my screen. If you can't see my screen, then you're only listening to the audio stream, which is certainly allowable. You're more than welcome to do that. If you want to be able to see the charts, if you want to participate in the discussion, if you want to ask questions, then on the homepage of CFRN.net, below the radio tower, there's two buttons. One of those buttons is a red, white, and blue button. It says something clever, as I recall, like click here. And if you click there, it'll take you to a page where there's a big green button that says watch live now. You click that and it brings you into the room where you actually can see the charts and get into the chat box and ask your questions, etc. Now, here's the deal. You have to do that little registration process once a week. My suggestion, do it on a Sunday night, a Monday morning. Then you're good to go for the entire week. You don't ever have to worry about it again. In fact, each day you'll get a little email reminding you that the radio show starts at 12 noon Eastern, click here to join the show. So you do the registration, takes 30 seconds once a week. After that, it's one-click access for the entire week. Okay, in the news today, well, the markets kind of speak for themselves. I mean, we'll talk about this and what happened, what went on, but just breezing through the news, let's talk about France. François Hollande, I got that right, the newly elected socialist president of France, looks set to achieve one of his main campaign goals and will impose a 75% tax rate on people earning more than $1.23 million per year. Now, these figures are from the Washington Post. It's thought that the tax, which is a marked increase from the previous rate of 48%, now that's the jump. It's jumping from 48 to 75. This will be implemented next year. Ministers have said the tax will be temporary and is part of a plan to balance France's books by 2017. Taxes already introduced are thought to bring in $8.7 billion this year. Eli Cohen, a past economic advisor for Sarkozy and Hollande, explained that the motivation was more political than financial. Tell that to the people making more than $1.23 million per year. From a strictly economic point of view, I would not recommend these policies, he said, but that's not what this is. This is clearly designed to create some kind of consensus in this country for structural reforms. By increasing taxes on the wealthy, Hollande hopes to garner increased support for increased austerity measures. Government spending cuts have begun in efforts to meet a plan to balance the budget by 2017 and are sure to continue. In effect, this move will serve as political points and an I told you so moment for Holland's future socialism-inspired policies. As many wealthy French citizens bemoan the hike, wealthy Americans are doing the same to a proposed Obama tax hike from 35 to 40% currently being deliberated in Congress. Even ardent Obama supporters who understand and are willing to front the bill for the tax hike, including popular Hollywood actor Will Smith, are amazed and just kind of blown away by the French plan. When asked for comments, Will Smith simply said, 75? God bless America. Now, think about it. If you make $1.23 million a year, okay, granted, a lot of money. I'm not going to deny that. But a 75% tax bill? So, in effect, you go from making, you know, over $1 million a year, that knocks you down to $300,000. Okay? Still a very livable income for most people. But those percentages are, well, they are what they are. Mitt Romney has news out today. Jenna Jameson, and some of you recognize that name. Shame on you. The world's most famous porn star has publicly endorsed Republican President Mitt Romney as of last night, according to CBS News San Francisco. Jenna told a CBS reporter in the VIP room of the San Francisco strip club Gold Club, "I'm very looking forward to a Republican being back in office. When you're rich, you want a Republican in office." Now, the Mitt Romney endorsement appears to be a departure from her previous political leanings. The 38-year-old entrepreneur had previously appeared in the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals campaigns and was a Hillary Clinton supporter in 2008. Jameson's net worth is estimated to be upwards of $20 million, making her one of the world's highest paid adult entertainers. Okay, this one will tap right into the conspiratorial hearts of many of our listening audience. The Los Angeles Times has done a brilliant write-up, and you can go there and read the entire thing, including all the diehard references and a Ron Paul interview. But his write-up is of an unusual and secretive operation underway at the New York Fed. This is a first, guys. The Treasury Department is auditing its gold reserves. It's the first ever audit of the Fed's bullion. Previously, they were only performed at Fort Knox, West Point, and the U.S. Mint in Denver. The process involves drilling small holes into the gold to measure its purity. The audit, which began back in January, okay, news just now leaking out, let's stay away from that part of it. The audit, which began in January, took place 80 feet below the Fed's limestone and sandstone Italian Renaissance building in Manhattan's financial district. Visitors to the vault make their way through a steel and concrete entrance where a 90-ton door rotates open. Here's how it works. The bars were first they're weighed on a small electronic scale, then transferred to a table mounted with a long, thin drill used to burrow into the gold. Now, this is from a person familiar with the operation who's not authorized to speak publicly. Workers were careful to collect any stray gold bits, the source said, based on the market price at the time of this writing of about $1,600 per troy ounce. The Treasury removed more than $110,000 worth of gold samples. The results of the audit are expected to be announced at the end of the year. Now, I'm going to say just because the audit's going on and the fact that it's taking them a year and we're not hearing about the secret operation until August, I'm highly suspicious. And in world financial news, Italy was up today 6%. European markets went bonkers today as investors interpreted and reinterpreted European Central Bank President Mario Draghi's comments yesterday. Now, on my screen in front of you, you can see how they interpreted the comments yesterday. In fact, I wrote about it on the blog. We had a rally, then a decline, and then a 50% recovery, then a continued decline, and since the Asian markets open and the European markets open today, it's been up, up, and away. The FTSE 100 up 2.2%, the DAX up 4%, the CAC 40 up 4%, the FTSE up 6.75%, the FTSE MIB, and the IBEX, that's Spain's market, up 5.6%. Big numbers, big rally, not just on Wall Street, but all around the world. Now, let's drill down and look at this hourly chart. We spent the early part of the week. By the way, Michael did the live trading room this morning, and then he had to pack up to leave the Cape to head back home. And so he did the morning shift, and I'm doing the afternoon shift. Unless by chance you're out there, Michael, if you are, pipe in, but I don't believe he is. We'll be bringing David on and Robin here just momentarily. But we'll walk through a little bit of what's happened this week. It was an unusual week. Here's our weekly trading zone at 1373.74. We've talked about this. The market could not get up to that next zone at 92.93. Made a couple of valiant attempts. It was Tuesday before we actually touched the first weekly zone. very unusual. We talked about that yesterday. We then oscillated back and forth, below it, above it, below it. And then finally, from this call made in the live trading room back on Tuesday, we drew the line across there yesterday. You can see that. That was the high. And even when they spiked yesterday morning on Draghi's comments and then sold off, that high remained in place. We took a dive all the way down to the weekly trading zone at 54.55. Remember, we'd been stuck here at 73.74 all week. Once we hit 54.55, we put in this beautiful long-legged doji. Okay? And for us, a doji, that's just anyone who speaks candles understands the importance of that. But in candle speak, context is always very important. And so for us, as CFRN partners, a doji at a weekly trading zone, that speaks volumes. So we're looking for the market to move higher from that point. Only problem, we had this red sloping MA1 coming down, and we knew that price would have to get on the backside of the MA1 for a rally to ensue. And we talked about this in the partners meeting last night. One of the partner, it was either on this radio show yesterday or I think it was actually in the partners meeting last night. A partner said, "Dwayne, do you think the bottom is in for the week?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't necessarily think so unless we get good employment numbers tomorrow." And what we got today were some very good employment numbers. Non-farm payrolls grew by 163,000 in July, crushing expectations for just 100 jobs. In early trading, the Dow up 222 points, S&P up 25, NASDAQ up 55. So, we get on the back side. See, right here is our tip-off. Okay, right here. Look for higher prices. We get on the back side. And in the, I do know it was in the partners meeting last night, I said once we pull back, and in this case moved sideways, into a blue upsloping MA1, this is the backbone of the CF indicator set, CFMA1, I said only then will I be truly interested in a long trade. And this long trade took us right back to the 73.74 where we spent a good part of the week. We consolidated there for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. And off we go, and it looks pretty clear where we're headed. Now, I did say yesterday, or in the meeting last night, that another reason that I wasn't so convinced that this was going to be the bottom for the week, the big thing was the employment numbers. If we'd have had poor employment numbers today, I don't believe we would have seen this. Although we may have, because Europe traded so bullishly. This is a global market, don't forget. But we still had two more zones below us. So there was still plenty of potential playing field, so to speak, below us. Now, what do we have above us? Well, our highest weekly trading zone for this week is 75. We won't see that today. So will we stay inside of the playing field once again this week? Yes. Is there a good chance this 92.93 is going to be the high of the day? Yeah, maybe we spike it just a little bit. All right. I want to walk you through one more thing real quick, and then I'm done, and we'll go to David and Robin. I want to go back to the 10,000 contract chart. I know that Michael walks you through a lot of different charts each and every day, and he hits all the high points on a lot of different markets, NASDAQ. Let's see, where do I want to start? Now, why don't we start with we'll start with yesterday. Today's the third. We'll start with yesterday. This vertical line, okay, that's midnight, Chicago time. See, it begins August the 2nd. Now, the conditions for our 10,000 contract trade, they're so simple, okay? All we look for is a bullish cross and a pullback to the VVC. On these trades, we only risk 2 points, okay? Many of the partners and in the trading room, we will trade with a two-point bracket. In other words, two-point stop, two-point target. This trade pulled, and I'm going to round these numbers so we don't. It doesn't take forever to get through it. We'll call this 73. It ran up to 83. Okay, so this was a 10-point move. It did everything our trade setup would look for. The bullish cross, the pullback. We've got 2 points of risk. No danger of being stopped out there. 10-point move. Okay. Next, we get a pullback here to 1377, and price runs up to 82. That's a 5-point move. Now, what's the chance of you catching the entire 5-point move? Slim to none. Same as the 10. You may have just taken 2. If you're running the bracket, you just took 2. If you're running the bracket, you just took 2. If you're working it a little differently, I'm showing you what the potential is. The potential is it moved 10 points from the entry. It moved 5 points from the entry. Here, now, we went into some in-depth reasons last night why one might not have taken this trade, but based on the purest conditions of the setup, if you did take it, the maximum you could lose is 2 points. Why? Because we always trade this setup with a 2-point stop. Okay, in a fast market, could it get slipped a tick? And instead of 8 ticks, maybe you get 9 ticks? Which is 2 points and a tick? Yes. Yes, that could happen. But for the most part, you'll get your 2. Okay? Now, the next trade setup, our entry got missed by 1 tick. It happens. Was it a beautiful trade? Did it produce profits? Well, in theory, except our entry was missed by 1 tick. On the next setup, our entry was missed by 1 tick. I know, a little heartbreaking, right? But it happens. All right, so let's roll over here to this pullback at 1360. That one drops down to 57. So the maximum potential in that move is 3 points. Okay. The maximum potential in this move I can see just by eyeballing it is 4 points. Okay. Now the market gets turned around and we start getting long trades. Okay. Now this long trade here, from 1360, ran up to 64. So there's a potential of 4 points in there. Whether you took 2 ticks or no ticks, the potential in the trade was 4 from the entry. Here, from 62 to 64, no, Yeah, 64.75. Meh. Call it two. Call it 2 points. It's a couple points among friends. Okay. And on this pullback here, there was a drawdown. In fact, you would have come within one tick of being stopped out. If you're using 2-point stop, you came within one tick of being stopped out, but you weren't. And the trade ran from 62 all the way up to 69. Yeah. So that was a 7-point rally. How much of that were you able to get? That's up to you. Here we have a trade that, although it pulled back and moved higher, it got stopped out to the tick. 2 points got stopped out. So you didn't get anything there. And you no longer had a call to go long based on the trade setup. So there was no trade there. The next trade setup came right here. And it was really a beauty. Right there, the call to go short came in at 59. And it dropped to 53. So that is a 6-point move. This pullback here, which pulled back to, we'll call it 55, dropped down to 49 and change, we'll call it 50. That's a 5-point decline. Again, that's the maximum distance that it traveled. Not saying you're going to get 5 points out of it, I'm just saying that's what was on the table. That's what was available. Now, this trade here, the setup was picture perfect. If you took it, you lost 2 points, minus two. That's what happened. You got stopped out. That's trading. It happens. There's not another valid trade set up until this point right here. The entry's actually 54.5. I'll call it 55 just to make it easier to count the numbers. 55 runs up to 61. So that's about a 6-point rally. And then this pullback here to, we'll call it 61. That thing runs up to 70, call it 76. What is that, 15 points? Again, maximum potential. That's how far that move went. It was a nice, big move. And then this one here pulled back to 1373. And this thing ran up to 81. So that's about an 8-point move. And we're almost done. We're into today's trading now. This pullback here to 79 took us up to, let's call it 80, and it took us to 87. So it's real easy to round those numbers and say there was 7 points of potential in that trade. The next trade pulled back to 85 and went to 88. We'll call that 3. And let's see. Another little pullback here. Went from 86 up to 89. Now we'll call that 3. Remember, never risking more than 2 points on any of these trades. And this pullback here to 87, so far it's gone to 90. So we'll call that 3. Okay. So, now, where did we start? Let's go back to where we started this. think we started on August 2nd, did we not? Yes, we did. That is where we started, correct? Yep, August 2nd. Okay. So, keep track of the ones that get stopped out here. I'm just giving you an idea of the potential, okay? And I don't want this to be misleading, and I'm not going to let it. We had, I'll use a calculator, and then I'll get it right the first time. 10, 5, 3, 4, Four, two, seven. And we had another trade that got stopped out. And then we had 6, 5, and then we had a trade that got stopped out. And then we had 6. And then we had 15. And then we had 8. Seven. 3. 3, 3. Okay. So since midnight August 2nd, that's a total of 91 potential points. That's maximum potential. Okay. If you're trading with a 2-point bracket, then you're going to get 2 points out of each one of those trades, not 10 or 15 or 3 or 7 or any of that other business. There were 3 trades that got stopped out. That's one number we know for sure. 3 trades got stopped out, so that's minus 6. So, if we take the 91, okay, and let's just divide that in half. 45. You know what? Let's divide it in half again. 22.75. I've never done that before. I usually just divide it in half. I divide it in half, then I divide it in half again. 22.75. Minus the 6 points for the ones that got stopped out. That's still positive 16.75 points over the last 2 days of trading. Today's August the 3rd. We began calculating at midnight on August 2nd. I just wanted to point out to you the simplicity of this trade setup, how much I like it, why I like it. How well it flows. Are some days better than others? Absolutely. Can you learn this setup? Yes, you can. Can I teach you this setup in 2 weeks? If you come and take our free trial, cfrn.net/apply, I can teach you this setup, how to trade it, everything you need to know about it in 2 weeks. Okay? I know that sometimes some of the setups that you see during the recap with a lot of the 4-tick range and with the slingshot, those are great trades. I just know that sometimes a few of you who are new to our indicator set, it gets a little confusing and a little bit overwhelming for you. So I want to invite you to take the free trial. Give me a week next week to show you how to put this trade to work for you. We'll give you charts. Give you the platform. We'll give you live data, okay? Not delayed, but live real-time data for all of the futures markets. Livestock to lumber to E-minis. We'll give you currency futures. We'll give you the Forex pairs. And you'll be able to actually get into the simulator and put on and take off trades you'll be able to truly test drive this baby and see if it can work for you and your trading. See, wherever you're at, beginner or professional, okay, if you're looking to improve your trading results, we have some tools that you'll find to be very beneficial. We invite you to come and hang out for one full week, no credit card required. We let you use everything we got. And at the end of the week, you can make a decision if this is for you or if you need to continue the hunt, okay? That search for the Holy Grail. I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not out there. The one thing that's always right and never gets stopped out just doesn't exist. Are there some really good things out there? Yeah, I just showed you one. And I invite you to come take the free trial. And let me look into the chat box here. Okay, very good. All right, speaking of chat, let's go to Vegas and talk to Mr. David Williams and the trading coach, Miss Robin Dane. We need to pause for a quick station identification. If you have any questions about taking the free trial, email support@cfrn.net. Or if you'd like to talk to two of the nicest people I've ever met, call toll-free 866-928-3310. You'll get a hold of Bert or Leslie. They'll help you get your demo set up, your platform, your charts, get your data flowing, your indicators indicating, and you'll be ready to rock and roll Monday morning, actually Sunday night when the market's open. And I start tweeting, you'll be there. All right? Stand by. We're going to Vegas.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and good morning, Michael, even though he's not here.
Well, that's nice of you.
And good morning to Robin Dane, Trader's Coach. I don't know if she's with us this morning or not.
She is. I just need to open up her mic and let me wander over there to the mic opener. Hang on. Still checking.
Well, while Dwayne is working the controls, we've had some dramatic moves today in a number of different markets.
We have around the globe.
Around the globe. Was that Robin in the background there?
Hey, Robin.
No, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
It's a good day in Las Vegas and in the markets today.
It is. It certainly is. We've had some dramatic moves in the markets and, as you say, all over the world. A lot of somewhat unusual behavior in the last couple of days, partially based on the recent Fed announcement. But, as we've talked about this for the last 2 years, the new good news is bad news. We got bad news today. The unemployment rate has gone up to now 8.3%. So the GDP for the last three quarters has been going down. That's the gross national product. That's what the total output of our economy is, has been going down for the last three quarters. And the unemployment rate has now continues back up. It was up at 9.1 at one point. It dropped down all the way to 8.2, and now we're back up to 8.3. It may sound like a very small thing to go up that one tick, but it's actually a very, very important piece of information. It isn't a small thing. It's a big thing. And this is a very large ship, the U.S. economy, and any of the moves that it makes have to be taken seriously. A person could say, well, it's just a blip on the way to, you know, better living through science, or, you know, better living that we're all going to be having. But the facts are, the facts don't support that right now. The facts do not support that we're doing a lot better. Certainly, the administration will argue that even though things aren't improving as fast as they could be, you know, things have improved. You know, the unemployment rate has gone down to, you know, whatever it is, 8.3%.
Non-farm payrolls grew by 163,000. The expectations were for only 100,000.
Right. Well, our expectations were lowered by the last round when the expectations were 163,000 and we were only at 80 or something when we really got knocked out. Was that the last one that happened on?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it was a big
disappointment.
And
we all know that these, you know, these very, very easily could be revised in the very near future.
Right. In spite of the non-farm payrolls, the fact is that the unemployment rate has gone up. The true unemployment rate is really closer to 11% when you count everything. And, again, like Dwayne has said, and it has worked out to be the case, that in many, many cases, I would say maybe in most cases, these numbers are later revised, and they don't get better on those revisions. They usually get worse. The fact is our unemployment rate goes up. We've had, you know, this administration had 2 years with the House and the Senate, which means that anything they want to do, they can do. It's all Democratic. They can get all their bills passed. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I'm going to solve these problems. Here's how I'm going to make things better. And we're now 4 years into this, and you take a look around you. And I'm telling you, four more years of this is not going to be a pretty picture. The American public, the heart and soul of America, the small business and the people that work for small businesses, it's so resilient that it can even overcome, most likely, an administration that the kind that we have now, which just wants to waste enormous sums of money. You know, all of us collectively have to pay back every single penny that this government has wasted. Our debt has gone from $9 trillion under this president to just inching in on $16 trillion. That's a very, very large... You're inching in on doubling the debt, what we owe. And if they had their way, they would continue to spend more money. In fact, that's exactly what they want to do. What they want to do is they want to continue with unparalleled spending. If there was no resistance from the Republicans, who, as you recall, were voted into the House in a landslide because the public was not happy with it, that didn't change the administration's plans at all. But if there was no resistance, we would probably now be near $20 trillion in debt. I know that sounds unbelievable, but if they did all the things they want to do, all the further Solyndras, all the blowing up the entitlement, you know, programs, all the increase in government spending, all the increase in government itself, how much government do you want in your life? How much of this government do you want crawling you know where?
I'm pretty sure much? Resistance is futile.
Yes, resistance is futile with this administration.
I heard that somewhere.
In the Economist Populist, it said the August unemployment figures are out. The official unemployment rate is 9.6, and the total jobs lost were negative 54,000. 114,000 temporary government jobs, census jobs were lost, and private sector jobs increased by 67,000, which is a misleading number because 10,000 of the private sector jobs were returning workers who were on strike. minus the census jobs, total job creation was 60,000. This is not enough to even keep up with the growth of population. Job creation in America is missing in action.
Yeah. No, it just isn't happening. It just isn't happening. The emperor has no clothes. There's no way to put a nice dress on this. It just isn't working.
No.
It's the longest recovery we've had since the Depression. We have an administration that only knows how to point fingers and blame, never knows how to say we should have done this differently. And it's just going to go on for the next 4 years if we have that. It's going to be pretty frightening if it does. And how do you feel, Mr. and Mr. Public, Mr. and Mrs. Public, how do you feel about having the government get even bigger? It's already grown by about 30% since when he got in there. He wants to increase the size of the government. I wonder if I could sit him down, I would ask him, how big would the government have to be for you to say, you know, this is pretty much enough here. We've grown enough. I don't know that he knows the number. That's what worries me about him, is I don't think he knows or actually cares. He just wants bigger and bigger and bigger government. He wants to go all the way. And how do you feel about, if you're a business person, about having a president who, when he sees, you know, that your success or that anybody's success, anybody's entrepreneurialism, anybody's bold step to take a risk on some new thing and make it work, that how does it make you feel that all of that is kind of a constant source of irritation to him? He's really not happy about people getting ahead. It kind of bothers him, and you know that it does. You've heard it in statement after statement, and then he has to come back and correct it. I mean, think of what kind of position you have to be in to come back and correct a statement and say, no, I really didn't mean that you didn't build your own business and that because there's roads and toilets that you need to owe all of your allegiance to us. No, he did mean that, and he did mock you, Mr. and Mrs. Businessman, by saying that you think you're so smart and that there's plenty of smart folks out there and that you think you work so hard, and yet there's plenty of hard-working folks out there. See, he wants everybody even. He wants everybody even. He's dumbing you down so that other people can feel like they're even. So, yes, he does in his heart of hearts. I mean, he needs jobs, but if jobs happen, it means that there's businesses employing people, and if that's happening, then that means people are getting ahead, and he doesn't want that. In his heart of hearts, he really doesn't like capitalism. At the very least, if you don't want to call him a socialist, at the very least, he's an anti-capitalist or a reluctant, very reluctant capitalist. He does not like the fact that you're going to get ahead. It's irritating to him when people get ahead. And it seems to me that everywhere he shows up with his tax dollars that he got from you and doles it out on these companies, they all go out of business. It's the ones he doesn't visit that are doing really well. And guess what? I don't think he wants to visit the ones that are doing really well. It's just me. But I can name a couple of them that are doing real well. He's never visited them, and they got tax dollars.
Did you hear the news out of France today that I talked about earlier?
No, go ahead.
France's president makes good on his plan.
The 75% tax.
If you earn more than $1.23 million per year, you will pay a 75% tax rate, and that will be implemented by next year.
Yeah. So if you're a person that made that $1.23 million, it's a lot of money, and you had to work very hard for that, you can just write a check for about $950,000 of that to the government. And see, that's what happens. That's the end game. You want to see what the end game looks like? Just look across the ocean to Europe. The end game is the government has wasted all of the populace's money, and they can't keep asking the middle guy for it because there's very few jobs left. And the little guy or the middle guy is not going to give it, and it does. And they need those guys to vote them into power. So the only people left for them to go after are the rich. And then in the end game, by asking the rich to pay $950,000 on their $1.2 million, the rich are just going to give them the finger and move to another country, is what the rich are going to do. They're not going to give up that kind of money to the government because the government's wasted it. That's where we're headed in the next 4 years. If you're teetering back and forth between whether or not you should have a Romney or this guy in office. And maybe Romney is a little bit of an unknown because he has not yet really come out and delineated, at least to my satisfaction, what he's going to do. We do know with great certainty now that, you know, President Obama has come out of the closet. He has expressed his real vision for America, which is to spend and tax and tax and spend. He doesn't want to, we don't have a taxing problem. We have plenty of income from the United States. We have a spending problem in the government, and nothing is going to stop the spending train for the next 4 years. If he gets in office, the spending train is going to go on, and ultimately, at some point, you and I, because that's where they get their money from, are all going to have to pay.
Jim makes some good comments on the employment numbers today. The Bureau of Lies and Statistics added 377,000 jobs from seasonal adjustments. This was the largest seasonal addition in the past decade for a July non-farm payroll print in the past decade, possibly ever. But wait, there's more. The birth-death adjustment, which adds to the NSA print to get the final number, was plus 52,000. How does this compare to July 2011? It's about 1,000% higher. The last birth-death adjustment was a tiny 5,000. Today it was 52,000. This time last year it was 5,000. In other words, and this is the meat of it, of the 163,000 jobs added, 429,000 was based on purely statistical fudging. And that's from Jim. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. That was very nice. Very good.
And isn't the additional rate like 3% because of all the people that are not even being counted? That are not on unemployment anymore and just don't have jobs.
Right.
There's isn't it like a
we're not really showing those people.
We're not even showing those. It's like a 2 to 3% difference. Yeah, it's like a 2 to 3% difference from what,
from a lot of economists. They're saying the real unemployment rate is around 11%. So
Log on to Facebook and take a head count. The homeless drifters of the internet. They're all there. You know,
and we've got more babies because nobody's working.
That's good, Dwayne. They're all there.
They're all there.
Anyway, so we have to get somebody else into the White House that has some common sense and isn't lost in a dream world, lost in his own vision for what America's supposed to be. When ideology gets this extreme, reality has no import. It means nothing. It doesn't matter. This is the same guy that said the private sector's doing fine, and I guess we took that out of context. This is the guy that said you didn't build your business, and we took that out of context. Everything we're taking out of context, it's always somebody else's fault. His actions speak louder than words. He wants to raise taxes. If he had his way, he would have raised taxes quite a number of times on the rich. And by the way, when you do raise taxes on the rich are the people that in many cases own big manufacturing and other types of concerns that distribute their products through smaller businesses that the small business owner owns. They raise their prices, and the small business owner then has a price raise on his product. He has to turn around and raise the prices on his customers. It's like a boomerang. I don't know why the economists in this White House believe you can just raise the taxes on the rich and it's not going to come back and bite you. It's a tax raise on everybody, essentially, because all those products are going to have raised prices at some point. The rich do that. It's called the how economics works. It's just like a businessman. If his prices go up, what does he do? He turns around and he charges you more. Well, that's what the rich guy is going to do. When his price, when he's taxed more, he's going to raise his prices. And that means the small businessman is going to pay more, and the small businessman is going to turn around and charge
you more. He either charges you more or reduces the size of the package.
Yeah,
he creates a concave in the bottom of the ketchup bottle, so it looks like you're getting the same amount of ketchup
you used to get.
It's going to be interesting to see what the spin is today on the numbers.
Oh, it'll be. This is proof.
They're going to go. Oh,
this is proof. That's what they're going to say. This is proof that it's working.
We're not moving very quickly, but we're moving a little bit, and you know, we're going in the right direction, and it's because of the earthquakes and the typhoons and the Olympics. He's got to blame it on the Olympics somewhere.
It's coming. If he ran the Olympics, everyone would win the gold medal because he can't stand that somebody gets ahead of somebody else. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't like operating in an environment where I know that the main center of America, Washington, the government, views small businesses in his heart of hearts. Our president views small businessmen as predators. I think in his heart of hearts, he looks at you, if you're a businessman, like you're a predator. And that's you're screwing people to get ahead. That's how he thinks of it. He's made that very clear in his tone and in his, can't think of the word, but the way that he puts down businesses every chance that he gets in one frame, tone, or another. I believe he views all of us as predators looking to get one over on the public. And he sees that if you're successful, you're doing that successfully, then he's going to stand behind you and say, well, now you need to cough that up to me, or you need to pay me, or he's going to regulate you, and he's going to make sure, because in his heart of hearts, he's not happy about your success. He thinks you're victimizing people. That's how I think he views businesses, in his heart of hearts. If you could get it out of him, that's all that's really happening, is a business is just basically a setup to get to turn other people into victims, to be a predator out in society as a business. And, you know, he sides on what he calls the little people. You know, he wants everyone to have a shot. That's what he said so many times. He wants everyone to have a shot. Well, I got news for you. If you want a shot, you're going to get off your behind, and you're going to have to work really hard for it, because everyone has a shot. The people who do get ahead have gotten off their behind and worked their behind off to get ahead. So, Mr. President, everybody does have a shot. There's a black man in the White House. I think that's proof. Everybody has a shot. So don't go running around saying you're going to make it so that everybody has a shot. Because in America, everybody does have a shot. And lots of amazing success stories have happened, and more will happen over time. That people have started with nothing and ran their way all the way up with a product or this, and through luck and through hard work. But don't be telling the successful people that they're victimizing other people, because those people haven't yet had their success. And that's what I think he believes. So I don't like working under that environment. I really don't think that's a good environment for America as a whole either. And maybe you feel differently. But
hey, for those of you small business owners out there who begrudge Mr. Williams his electric chariot and tax credits.
What? What is my electric chariot and my tax credit?
I said for the small business owners out there, or any business owners that, you know, begrudge you and your grandiose tax credits, your chariot that we fund with our tax dollars. I wanted to mention there are some pretty fair tax credits out there for creating jobs right now. And you're probably already familiar with them, David.
I am.
I mean, it's not huge sums of money, but, you can get up to, let's see, well, if you hire a kid during the summer, you get a $1,200 tax credit there. You can get a $2,400 tax credit for every new adult that you hire. You can get $4,800 for each new disabled veteran that you hire. And you can get $9,000 for each new long-term family assistance recipient hired over a two-year period. The credit is based on 40% of up to $6,000 in qualified wages during the first year of employment. And
whatever that means.
Well,
yeah. I didn't quite catch that part.
Well, let me just keep it simple for
Go
you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Let me keep it simple for you. $9,000 for a long-term family assistant recipient. In other words, someone who has been on long-term government assistance. $4,800 for a disabled veteran, $2,400 for a new adult, and $1,200 for a summer youth. Now, if if the numbers, they have to, the credit is based on 40% of up to $6,000 in qualified wages during the first year of employment. So you have to look at the numbers and the percentage. In other words, you can't hire them for 3 days and get a $9,000 tax credit. You follow me? It has to be, you know, they've got to work a certain amount of time.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I stumbled across it yesterday. I knew there was some stuff out there, but I didn't know what the particulars were. But if you're paying someone, I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about fabulous wages here, but even if you're paying somebody $30,000 a year and you can get a $9,000 tax credit, I mean, that's pretty good. Now, this is going to be available through the end of December of this year. There's the potential for Congress to extend it or even expand it, I think, is good. I like this type of thing much better than I
sure.
like the raising taxes on people who make more money, because those people who are making more money, you're giving them a disincentive to do additional hiring. And if you live in certain empowerment zones, renewal communities, places where there are federal HUD zone tax incentives, you can actually apply some of these wage credits to your existing employees.
Mm-hmm.
Because you make your case, and it's a form. There's some private companies that for a small percentage of whatever you save, you pay them, and they do the paperwork for you. But you can show where, with this tax credit, you'll be able to retain this person. In other words, they'll get to keep their job another year, and the government will step in and help you with that. So there's some things out there that if you're a business owner and you are interested in hiring or you're afraid you're going to have to lay people off, take a look at this. You might be able to find a way to keep that person on until times do.
No, those are definitely more positive.
Get a little better, yeah.
Yeah, more positive steps towards getting people. If you can do it that way, which is a sweeter, more enticing way, or you can just go after doing what they're doing in Europe. And that's where we all end up, is they have to get to such ridiculous levels where they're taking $950,000 of your $1.2 million income. They just need it because you have it. That's where it's going. So.
Okay, you want to go to the markets?
Let's do that. Let's take a look at the markets. Okay, so we have had unusual market movement over the last several days. We had the Fed interest rate announcement the other day. We had a good decline that got started yesterday and went down to some important levels, tested those levels, and today has rocketed back up and has come very close now. I think today's high is 90.50. And for our particular way of looking at the market, we had forecast that for the month of August, the market would want to touch or test 93 to 94. Now, we've not reached that level yet, but they're attempting that level now, and we are in August. So, and as I mentioned, August is a very big volatility cycle for this month, and we're beginning to see that. The big move up is a surprise. It's a very powerful move up, but the volatility cycle, nonetheless, starts in August, as we talked about, and we're beginning to see some of that movement now. And then if they do complete that level, the 93 or slightly higher or higher level, then how they handle that is going to be very important for the bigger picture for us. So since the beginning of the year, in our newsletter, we've said that we believe that 2012, it's been in every single newsletter, is going to end up as a bullish year in the end, partially because of the seasonality of the presidential cycle, and partially because the market has much higher price levels that are indicated out in the future, in the mid to high 1400s and so, those types of levels later. Now, that's not necessarily all going to happen this year, but the fact is that we're in a month that has a volatility cycle where, you know, we still have 5 months left, whatever, for the year. Quite a bit can happen in that period of time. We've been concerned on the program about the potential for further decline, and another unusual thing that the market has shown here is that it has not been able to decline. I mean, we've had our normal decline. We had the March monthly top, and we had the big decline off that. But we've been concerned, and so because of that concern, we have missed the opportunity of being in the market with our, you know, as we've shown our statements, you know, where we sell puts, et cetera. We haven't done a lot of that. We are in stocks, so we benefit from the movement up in stocks. But normally, we like to accent those with lots of option sales, and we've not been able to do that because of the concern. And so we just didn't get that set up. And so, you know, we wait for the setups that really make sense to us, and we don't fool around. If the thing isn't looking the way we want to look at it, then later, if it turns out that they were going up, and you say, hey, that's, you know what, for us, we have to just take the trades that we believe in. And if they move in this direction and we're not in, then we just have to wait for the next one. I'm talking about a bigger picture now, you know, not something for an intraday trade here, but for the larger swings. So anyway, so the big thing for us is how they handle the movement up and the subsequent test of 93 to 94. We're still in a very strong position here with today's big gap up. Europe is up big. Even the fact that the unemployment rate has gone up to 8.3%, which is big news, the fact is that the market rallied on this. And like I've said before, we've seen this so many times, bad news is the new good news. And we've seen that plenty of times throughout the last couple of years, have we not?
And in fact, last night the topic on the blog was exactly that. And so,
Okay. Guys,
you can go out there and take a look at that and get a little browser cooperation here. And we talked about that very thing about trading the news is more art, I think, than science. And if you go take a look at the blog, it talks about what, you know, how the markets react. And that guys who specialize in trading news, they are, the news itself is secondary to how market participants react to the news. A trader who specializes in trading economic news events is watching the crowd just as closely as he is watching the numbers, perhaps even closer. So there's a pretty good reading here, and I highlight it with a chart. For those of you who have not been to the blog, go check it out. It's worth 5 minutes of your time to read that little article. And, of course, that's where the podcasts are available each and every day in case you missed the show. All right, David, where do you want to go to?
Oh, let's see. Well, let's move on. Let's take a quick look around. Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading mentioned to me this morning that crude had – we had about – you know, a week or so ago in the crude market, if you want to switch over to crude. And I think we're in the we're in
September.
What month? September, thank you. We had forecast that July 25th would be a bottom. This was utilizing reflected wave. July 25th would be a bottom in crude, and that they would ultimately go up in advance and test $91.70. The market advanced off of the July 25th bottom from 86.84 up to about 90.95, missing the target by, you know, 75 cents or so, and then retested the bottom. And I mentioned yesterday, this is the classic retest of a reflected wave bottom. And so the market did reverse off that, and today did complete with its today swing high at 91.74. That's tricky behavior. That happens. You know, the tricky behavior being that they went down to retest the level before going up to test the final target, the sort of a roadmap type of target. So anybody, I know you guys weren't necessarily trading today, but if you were, you know, a day trader in crude, might have been able to pick up something with today's move. It was pretty fast and furious if you take a look at it on a short-term chart. They were clipping along at a pretty good little pace there.
I was not in the trading room this morning, but they may have traded crude this morning. All the other
they may have? Okay.
Yeah, they were in there. Okay. I wasn't there.
Oh, I see. Were. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so we're let's go back to gold then. I don't have a lot to add to gold just at this point. We had forecast a few days back that gold would from 1623 or so go down to 1612, and then you could hold for an aggressive further decline to 1586. And the market did decline yesterday down to 1586 and reversed off that level, and we're substantially higher. We're at about 1607 now. We'll see. You know, right now, as I mentioned, we do have something important coming up in gold next week. And the 1586 level was derived from the fact that normally the week of August 6th, that would be the natural level for the market, 1586. So they completed it 1 week early, so that means the next week is very important in gold. We'll talk about that next week, and they'll, as I've mentioned on the radio program, although it may sound a little complex verbally, any new low they make next week below 1586, if they were to do it, we would expect a very powerful reversal off of that of 60 points or more. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about that as we get into next week, and we'll try to set that up. That move may already be underway. In other words, it may have all come 1 week early. The 1586 came 1 week early, plus we may have already started the bigger move. And then Facebook, they've had a good advance today. Let's see. You know, this market had been going down, has advanced nicely into today. This is really just an advance in a bear market, so we'll wait and see.
He lost $400 million yesterday, personally, Mark, and he got it back today.
Okay. Well, there you go.
He'll probably take his new wife out for dinner tonight or something.
That's right.
He'll probably even let her order dessert.
Maybe. All right, the Treasury bond market, nothing new on that. We had originally talked, we talked about the market testing 15 or 150.23 in the week of July 30th. This was a target that we'd given out last week when they were up much higher at, you know, 152.30. They did that. They did test that this week. So for this week, a close below 150.25 or so would be short-term the weaker position because you're closing below the natural level. Let's see. We had called for a top in the July euro for July 27th. The market did have a four-day pretty steep decline off of that, and today, in concert with the market, we've had a very powerful advance, and they are retesting the highs made on July 27th. So this is a very good motion. This market, the euro, has very, as you many of you know, has very good, you know, I like this market. It moves very well. It's very fast. You're not going to get a lot of sleep because you're going to have to watch it. It's a 24-hour deal. But there's some great setups in that market. And then let's see. We talked about the crude, so they've already hit their deal, the target we gave out the other day. Tesla has bounced off of this, the stock that we've talked about so many times. Tesla had a much larger decline here recently than we expected and has now bounced today. Nothing really to add to Tesla today, but we will as we get something. Actually, just in general, for Tesla today to close above $26.80, if we close up the week above that, we're above it now, because we're trading in the 27 range, that will be a slightly stronger position for that market. So keep that in mind. We'll flip over to just a couple of the other markets that we'd like to follow. A lot of these markets have been tricky and spiky and flash moves, that sort of thing. That's why you have to use protective stops if you're going to trade these markets. So keep that in mind. Don't let yourself get away with it, because it'll only end up hurting you at some point. Here's a good example of tricky behavior. Very similar to the euro, we'd called for a bottom in the dollar on July 27th, and they spiked that low. They advanced off there, but went sideways for several days, and then spiked the reflected wave bottom which was on July 27th. They spiked that low yesterday and then really closed firm up on the day. And today, they're right back down near the lows of yesterday, which is really an unusual move for the dollar. So very much how it is in the euro, too. Both these markets have had very powerful swing up and swing down. It probably, for the trend followers, probably many of them would have been in a position for trend following and now have to figure out what to do with this type of move. So that's what I'm saying. There's some unusual behavior here. You have to use a stop to keep yourself protected. Let's see. Anything else of importance here? I always feel like I'm missing a market.
There was a
lately.
Question for you from Edward. David, yesterday I think you stated more downside because of yesterday's big move down. Are you still holding that stance? Or
is he talking about in the S&P?
I think so. Or
let me get back to that in just a minute, so hold that thought.
Again,
let me just get to these markets.
The same guy has a bond question, so let me just go back to the bond chart for a minute.
Yeah, hold on for just a second here. I just want to move through these, and then I'll switch over to this other page, and let's take them on one by one. The natural gas market. I know most of you don't trade in this market, and it is also a very tradable market, surprisingly good market. Not as liquid and all that, but this market is very close to a bottom that you might want to pay attention to and might, you know, I like the idea of, I would like to see the market go a little bit lower. I wouldn't mind seeing them get down to the, you know, maybe the 2805, 2803 level. They're not there yet, but either way, we're very close to a bottom, if not already at one, in that market. So we'll keep an eye on natural gas in the next week. I wouldn't take a position on that just yet. Let's wait till Monday because we have the weekend here and no point in making a mess of anything until we see. Okay, let's get back over to, if you want to go to the S&P first.
Well, I'm on the bonds right now. Can you pull it up?
Okay, let's do it. Sure.
His question is that he sees a head and shoulders pattern here on the daily chart. And he wants to know if you have anything with reflective wave that shows you, because obviously the head and shoulders, we've already broken the neckline, so that would call for a measured move down, of which we've already gotten, I don't know, a good, at least a third of it, based on that style of technical analysis.
Yeah, for us, the bond market still is in a very powerful position. I'm not sure what time frame he was looking at this head
daily.
And shoulders. Was it daily?
It's up on my chart right here.
Oh, is that a daily chart? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Other than we had originally just a few days back, we'd called again. Sorry, but we keep repeating the July 27th date, but we had July 27th for a number of markets for a bottom in off of reflected wave. So they had a multi-day advance, but I have to tell you that this advance that they did, the bottom from 149.08, which was on July 27th, to just yesterday at 152.04, that's a nice swing, but it's not the normal swing. That's the market could actually do better than that. Not that we were forecasting or really expecting it, but just from eyeballing it, it's not really the best bounce. So I don't have a forecast for bonds at this point. The last reflected wave bottom was July 27th, and they're testing that low here. But in the bigger picture, the bonds are still relatively, I mean, you just can't look at it any other way. They're relatively bullish. Now, I know people want to get in early on bigger moves. The market may well be setting up a bigger move, and I've warned people that until this is only going to last so long. Obviously, it's not a real forecast of any kind. It's just that the interest rates are so low right now that this is going to be talked about for decades, about how low the interest rates were when the turn does come, and you want to take advantage of this in some way in your own personal life, if that means refinancing your home or whatever. So I just want to encourage people to do that before this goes away. I mean, the market really is a runaway market still on the upside, in spite of the decline that we've seen here today and yesterday. So that's really all I have on the bonds right now. And, we've talked about the connection between how bonds and other markets, the S&P goes up strong and the bonds tend to go down. So a lot of people think in those terms. But you have to have something more than just that to trade effectively. Sometimes there's going to be a really direct connection, and you can just do that all day long. But you do have to have something else in the end, because these markets are bigger and more, they're as big as life. And they're going to include other factors that are not going to allow those two markets to stay that way all the time. There are going to be times where both markets rally, and others there's going to be times where both markets decline. So right now that opposite bit has been playing along very nicely. So keep that in mind. Back over to the S&P. The question on the S&P was, yesterday we did expect, and let me bring up the S&P chart on a daily basis here. first of all, we had the 49 level on the downside, which the market did reach. Normally, that decline, this is unusual, at least to us. What they did today, this is unusual behavior. We would not see this at this point, this type of move. It can happen, but it's not normal. I can tell you that. And so we would have normally expected lower prices from this, the decline that ended yesterday, the August 2nd bottom at 1349. They had a very, very powerful reversal off that level. And we've even broken to new highs today. And I think it's probably likely that, you know, this has great meaning. It's not normal behavior. And the market is tricky before bigger moves. So this whole business that we've been seeing here with the last daily reflected wave top, which was on July 30th, we did have a very nice decline off that top. But under normal conditions, you would have seen further decline. And again, this is why it's a good idea to utilize stops. And no matter how good the market looks, always have some protection in to either stop out your remaining position at a break even or a small loss, and then you net that against your original gains or whatever your position is. We do it all the time. I mean, there's just no fooling around with this stuff. You know, all it takes is one or two of those. If you don't manage that correctly, and if you do hold on to losing positions, all it takes is, you know, a move where, let's say perhaps this market runs up to 1407. Let's just say, you know, I'm not forecasting that, but let's just say that's what it did. You know, you would be in really bad shape if you had not protected yourself at some point. So make sure that you do that. Don't let yourself off the hook. We're all prone to letting ourselves off the hook. Don't do that with trading and utilizing stops. If you let yourself off the hook, you have no one to blame except yourself if the market does something unusual. I've been looking at markets for a long time, and you know, now I think it's 22 years. And so, you know, you can make all kinds of calls in the market and have the market run and do all kinds of things, but when you trade those markets, you have to act as if you're wrong or could be wrong at every moment. You have to make sure that you're protected. And you don't, by the way, want that protection to be too close either, because the market needs room to move back and forth and do what it normally does. But if it gets past certain critical levels, it does mean something's wrong with the trade. And when that happens, that's when you want to be able to act correctly. People get ahead in life by making correct decisions. You don't have to make every decision correctly. Donald Trump, Bill Gates, you know, the big boys, would name anybody you want, all the way down to just ordinary people that do well in whatever they do, they tend to make more right decisions than wrong decisions. And you would say, well, I wonder how they do that. They are basing those decisions off of very basic principles. They don't have to think everything through to the nth degree. They have basic principles. And those basic principles happen to put the probabilities in their favor. They base their decisions off those basic principles, and that puts the odds in their favor. That's what you want to do in the markets. You don't want to be making decisions emotionally. You want to be making decisions based on basic principles. One of those basic principles is you must always have a stop in. And later, when you get stopped out of that position, you'll be very happy, especially if the market does what it did today, and you can say, boy, I really could have made a mess of this. And I've told you before, I really had a big breakthrough myself many years ago when I started looking at my statements. You know, we all look at our statements at the end of the month. But many years ago, I decided to try really hard to do everything right and just make the end of the month my time period to say, this is, you know, I did good or I did medium or I didn't do so good, rather than looking at it on the day-to-day basis. And what happened was that I went through my trades. You know, you keep a little trading log. Of course, I write my trades. Back then, I was writing my trades down. I still do, but, you know, however you get them, the list of trades. And what would happen is at the end of the month, you would look And let's just say that you made, just take a number, like $3,000 at the end of the month. That's what you netted after your commissions and after your ups and downs and everything. And I would look at that $3,000 and I go back over the trades, and I'm telling you, it really hit the point home for me in a way that nobody could have told me and made that same impression. I saw it for myself, and what I saw was just simply this. You're looking at your statement, and you're going over your trades, and you say, well, look, here's a trade where I was up, X number of dollars, and then it pulled back, and it stopped me out, and then it continued on up. And, God, if I would have held on to that, I could have made an extra $2,000 on it. You say, well, yeah, that's too bad. And then you look at another trade and you say, well, look, here's a trade where I was long, the market and I had a profit in it. The market pulled back, and that took half my profit away, and it stopped me out. But then the market declined another 35 S&P points. And if you take that trade and now include that 35 in as a loss, you just took a whole big chunk of your profits away. And if you'll find throughout that month there were several of those, you would have been upside down $3,000 had you not done the right thing in every instance. And so that's what really hit me was, wow, I did the right thing. It didn't feel so good at the moment, but here I am at the end of the month with $3,000, and that $3,000 is only there because I can absolutely see it in front of me. Had I not done the right thing, here's the market moving strong, and I would have just held on to that. I wouldn't have had any of this $3,000. I would have been looking at the upside-down version of this. So that made a huge impact on me, making me realize the importance of trade selection, which means looking and waiting for the trade that you best understand and are comfortable trading, and then managing the trade in a way kind of like as if you were wrong, but giving the market move, managing meaning placing your stop, et cetera, as if you're wrong, but letting the market have some room at the same time to have the trade develop. So, and then all kinds of things can play out in this. There's going to be periods of time where you trade and, if you're trading off of our methodology, reflected wave is, you're going to be selling a top, and many times it'll just drop like a rock from there. Other times it'll do what crude did, which it'll go up somewhat and then go down and retest that low. And sometimes you might be stopped out, and then you get the straight up day like today. And you say, man, if I would have just held that position, I would have been in. You know what? That's how trading goes. That is how it goes. And don't try to fix everything. Don't try to make trading perfect for you. Be very graciously imperfect in trading. Learn how to deal with the imperfection of trading, and you'll do much, much better. Many people get to the point where they want to make everything so perfect that they literally remove, in trying to make it perfect, you remove the possibility of better trades because you've shrunk it all down to perfection. There's no character in your trades because you're trying to make them too perfect. And I've been on that road as well. You need to let the market have some room. And one thing that a lot of traders do, we even do it in our product, Messenger Pro, but I don't know that it's the best idea to do it in real trading, and that is to always place your stop at a break even in a trade. Once you're in and you have some small gain, you want to protect that with a break even, et cetera. But in many, many cases, if you gave the market a little bit more room, and yes, you're risking a slightly, instead of a break even, you're risking a 1 or 2 point loss, in many cases, you give the market room to actually fulfill and move up later to complete your trade. So, there's a lot to this, but just don't try to get too much of an edge on your existing edge. Because what happens is you whittle away the whole business of having an edge. You just whittle away your edge. If you have an edge, there's going to be some imperfections in the market, but you just learn to deal with that. And you'll find you can do very well. We've shown our statements. We've sent statements to Dwayne. We've sent statements to, to Bert. We show them on our seminars. We actually trade in the markets, and we trade in some size. And, all of that comes with practice. And over time, you'll find that you can be very, very graciously imperfect. You can say, oh, okay, look at that. Just like today, the guy was asking, weren't you expecting to go lower? Yeah. I mean, I did expect to bounce at 49. There was a very critical point there. I did not expect the market to break out to new highs today. No way. Did not expect it. So that's unusual behavior. And when that happens, then you want to be able to stop yourself out of any short position and be reasonable with it. So at the end of the month, you can look at your statements and say, look, it really does pay to do the right thing here. And sometimes it doesn't pay to do the right thing. But in the long run, to do the right thing is how people get successful, and stay successful. You don't start changing up there, when you don't start flipping the principles around, to stay successful, the people that are able to stay up on the ladder and continue to trade and do whatever they do in life at those levels, they continue to make good decisions, and they're graciously imperfect. It doesn't always work out. You know, I always use Donald Trump, I don't know why, but, you know, he's bought a number of properties that it just didn't work out. But because his principles are sound, in the long run, it works out very well for him, and he doesn't lose that much on the downside. Once in a while, you're going to have something that crunches you for some reason or another. I've had situations, and many traders have, where, you know, have you ever had a position on where you go, okay, great, I got out, and then somehow later you find out you're not really out, and the market's moved way against you, or you thought you were out, and the market moved way in your favor, and your broker calls you and says, in the old days when the brokers used to call, and they say, hey, you know, you're still long that euro. I say, no, I thought I got out of that. No, you never called, or you never this, and you think you did, and it either is now a much larger loss, or suddenly it's this home run game that you would have never been able to trade on your own,
right?
Because, you know, it's just the way that it happened. So all of these things are part of it. You have to learn to deal with that, which means just let it go, and understand that there are plenty of good opportunities in the market every day or every week or every month that you can go after and make very, very high probability trades without having to chase every little thing down on the screen and while using a stop. And I do suggest, I just want to say this one more time, I do suggest that you take a month out, do everything right, and if you show yourself at the end of the month with a gain or even with a break even, whatever your thing is, take a look at the trades that had you not stopped yourself out correctly, where they went subsequently, and add that into it, and you'll find that realization will hit you, hey, it really does pay to do the right thing. Don't try to be right all the time, because you can't be, meaning that, you know, the trade may not go right. I mean, maybe they do what they did today, and they run them up real strong, and you don't want to be in that, because they could be up in the 1400s later. And I have been, and I have known people that will hold on to losing positions until the return of Jesus. Nothing will get them out of the market, because they do not want to take the position off, because they just know as soon as they get out of that position, the market's going to come back, and then they're going to go, oh, man, if you're doing that, if you're thinking like that, I'm telling you, because I have been there. That is elementary school trading, if you're trading that way. I don't even care if you're a big trader and you've got the big fund and you're real big, you're going to be taken out on a stretcher at some point. If you were trading that methodology, the methodology of just holding on because you just know they're ultimately going to come back and this is just a move that way or this way or whatever, that's not good. Don't do that. You can do much, much better than that, and you can be much more consistent at the end of the month. And you'll end up enjoying the imperfection of all this. The fact is you can't be perfect with it, but you can be very high probability and you can trade it well. And it's, by the way, very satisfying to do the right thing, to have those principles work out, and in the end, in the long run, have nice size gains. That's a very nice feeling. You know, you don't have to chase the perfection. Don't get too much of an edge on your edge. Just realize it's just a fact that you'll have to deal with some adversity, no matter, even if you're running a business. I mean, look at the guy that's running the Chick-fil-A business. Did he have any idea that he was going to be, you know, stampeded by the mayor of the town and try to be run out of town? He's going to have to deal with some of that. Even though to run a successful business, his principles have to be right, sometimes something's going to come up that's going to flip him around. So, and in this case,
And as a result, he ran out of chicken.
He ran out of chicken, right. And somehow he had from one day, you can imagine his emotional swing. One day he thinks he may be going out of business. The next day he has his highest sales day in the history of the company. So,
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I wonder if America is going to finally just split into two pieces. The loony left all in one little place and normal people in the rest. I wonder if that wouldn't be a bad thing for us to do. Just give them their little land here. You guys do your little thing and run your little commune where everyone eats the same peanut butter and jelly sandwich and, you know, all whatever it is you guys have in your head, because God knows, you know, nobody really understands it except you guys. Go do that. Just go to your little area over there. You do that. We'll go over here and we'll all live a real life and have the real ups and downs and deal with it and manage it if somebody gets ahead, we won't feel like a victim over here. We'll actually praise him and say, God love you. Isn't that amazing in America what a person can do? That's what we'll say. And yes, we'll have crime and we'll prosecute crime. But we're not going to make everything perfect for everybody, and in doing so, crush the entire system. Because that's what you guys are trying to do. And when you say you're trying to make it everything right for everybody, it isn't right for everybody, by the way. Go ahead.
You mentioned something pretty important, which was...
I hope so.
He's enabling people to be victims. And when you're a victim, nothing happens well. Every time you're a victim, everybody else is to blame but you. You take
right.
no responsibility. And being a victim doesn't allow you to move forward or be who you are, because you're not in charge. So the key thing is to really take charge of your life, take charge of what's going on, despite what they want you to do, and live to your potential.
Right.
And not be a victim. And, I just have this strong belief that there's always a way. There's always a way to out of something, even if things are really terrible. There's always a way. You just have to keep digging and digging and find it, just like you do a good trade, digging and find it, and just be who you are and not let the things around you or the government or whatever hold you back.
No doubt. The idea, and we talked about this the other day, when you give people too many unearned benefits, whatever they are, then you're actually stunting those people. And when you stunt those people, you're damaging society as a whole, because those people are not going to reach their potential. And what we really want in society is for everyone. I mean, look at Stephen Hawking. He's crumpled up in a wheelchair, for God's sakes, and he's still writing books and coming up with new theories. He's reaching his full potential. He is not a victim.
Right.
And we've got fully capable people who are just nothing but taking handouts from the government, because the government encourages them to do so. Those people don't reach their potential. Society loses when that happens, because people do have a potential to reach to.
It's so true that we all lose when you don't be who you are, and there's nothing that you can't do. There is absolutely nothing you can't do. And those people that just kind of sit around, I mean, what kind of life is that even when you do that? I mean, it's like a nothing life. Yeah, you could sit around, drink beer, you could just hang out. Yeah, that's great. But there's so much more to life than that you're losing out on. I think that the Buddhists say something like, if you don't get it right the first time, you get reincarnated to learn it all over again and try to get it. So, you want to get it the first time.
Good luck with that.
You want to try to get it right.
You want to try to get it right the first time and not have to come back over and over again, because life is a challenge. Take your challenges as learning experiences.
If you think it's hard now, try coming back as a cockroach. Boy, it's really
tough. Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to think that I was an aphid in my last life. But that's just me.
I think I was a bird. I think I actually was a bird.
All right.
Oh dear.
Because I keep having these dreams that when I used to dance and I was on the stage, I have these endless dreams to this day that when I take a leap across the stage, I just leap across the whole stage and everybody goes, wow, look how long she can stay in the air. And I said, I must have some kind of bird stuff in me for being able to do that, fly across the stage.
I've had repeating dreams as well that I was in a big marshmallow factory eating these huge marshmallows. I woke up this morning and my pillow was gone. I don't know how that's all about. All right, so.
Okay, so I have a question.
We'll make up an answer.
Excuse me?
I said we'll be happy to make up an answer.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to look at Kong. I'm out of Kong at this point, but I would like to have an update on Kong, if you would, please.
I would be happy to look at it, and I'll tell you anything that I think. The only real indication on Kong, and this is a peculiar stock, we talked about this,
it has
unusual movement, very kind of strange things that it does, but it had a bottom on July 23rd in a reflected wave, and they're retesting that bottom today and yesterday. So this is a critical juncture for it, because in reflected wave, any retest of a reflected wave bottom is equally as important as the original bottom. So
I got out at 772.
Okay. Yep. Well, good.
I felt
actually,
good.
Actually, yeah, go yep. ahead.
I wasn't feeling good because it was, it is a weird stock, and it was, but it was continually going up. Like if you look at even a 6 month or a 3 month, you know, you'll see, I mean, it was totally going up, 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 up. And not only just recently when it hit that $8 level, did it start to get really funky, and it went sideways for too long for me.
Yeah.
So when I see that and it's had a big move up like that since April, then I go, no, they're going to pull this puppy back. So I got out.
Okay, so well, good. Just for us, there's a reflected wave monthly top in July, and normally the natural level for them would have been up in the $8.70 range, but they weren't able to get there. And so the stock, and again, this is an unusual, very thin, I guess it is publicly traded, it is, but it's a very thin stock, and so we would expect a multi-month reversal off of this, even if it's just not a huge move, something sideways to lower. And then, like I said, even now with today's market having tested the July 23rd reflected wave bottom, this is a critical juncture for the stock, and this is where, by the way, exactly where the stock is, KONG, this is where I get busy. Anytime the stock or market is, you know, whether futures or stock, anytime they're retesting an important previous reflected wave top or bottom, I'm getting in there looking for buying signals, because quite often that is exactly where the bigger move begins from. Very much like what you saw in crude, the crude bottom that happened on July 25th or whatever it was, then they retested that bottom yesterday. We mentioned it on the program and how it was critical, and then today they shoot up and they finally complete the, you know, 91.70 or whatever the target was that we talked about. That is a good example of why I'm always anxious to say and look at the stock and look for an easy entry somewhere when they're retesting a reflected wave, previous reflected wave top or bottom. So Kong is doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should have taken it out.
Yeah, no, that's good. You're fine. And you can always re-enter a position if you like what you see, et cetera. Also, with the S&P, we're extremely quiet now with this big up move here. I don't know that I would expect any hourly closes. I mean, put it this way, if they're not able to have hourly closes below 1387, we're a little above that now, that would be a very strong indication for higher prices. So keep that in mind, and we'll watch and see how, because they're testing that level. They're at 88, but they're basically testing the 87 level right now. So we'll see. This is real, real quiet. And there's probably, those of you who do trade with reflected wave know that we're very close to some important turning points right here. So keep an eye on that, and you know, there may be a very usable trade. I wouldn't even mind if the market gets down to the, I know this is no big deal, but 86 to 86.50 would also be buying territory for me if they get down there on a day that has had this much momentum on the upside. I'm not sure they can make it down there. We'll see. And so also I'd like to thank everybody. We had a Reflected Wave webinar yesterday, and we had a number of new people there, and they may be here today in the room. I see we've got quite a few in the room. So we want to thank you for coming. We're on the radio program every day. We'll be back on Monday. And we do normally have a number of different forecasts and market moves that we talk about based upon these turning points and other methodologies that we've developed over time. So I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful and safe weekend here. I hope the weather is nice where you are. It's going to be nice and sunny here in Las Vegas. Dwayne, do you have any plans for the weekend?
No, David, I don't believe that I do. Nothing specific.
Okay. Is the man cave just dark, or does it have light coming in it? What does it look like from your end, Dwayne?
It's nice.
I think like that. I think like that marshmallow pillow.
Okay.
No, we'll get out. You know, I mean, it's really hot here. I mean, so you get out and you go places. You go to the mall or you go to the store. You do something. But I mean, you just. I mean, a week ago today. I mean, we had a birthday party at Encanto Park for Emily. Even though it was 113. By the time we set up for the party, it had rolled back to 108, so it really wasn't too terribly hot. So
I want people to know, anybody who's not felt Arizona heat, 113, people actually melt in that temperature. There's goo on the ground, and it's from people.
It is hot. Whew.
Yeah, well, we survived. We got through it. And once the sun dropped over the horizon, it actually was almost pleasant out.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right there by the water in Encanto Park and the ducks.
Yeah, in the desert, when the sun, the heat of the day, when the sun comes down, it is strangely beautiful. It's almost a strange kind of, it's almost a severe kind of a beauty. It's like, it was so bad that this now looks like heaven to you. You know, the sun's going down, the heat of the day is gone, and it really is. It's very lovely. The desert does have its own beauty.
Sure does.
No two ways about it.
I know that from my searches, and the moon last night was amazing. The moon couple nights was just absolutely just phenomenal. It was with the clouds, and there was a little bit of lightning in the background, and it was just amazing.
Well,
I have a little quote. Everyone has in him something precious that is in no one else, and life is like a wild tiger. You can either lie down and let it lay its paw on your head, or sit on its back and ride it.
There you are.
Go for it. Absolutely go for it. And if you have any kind of trading questions that are related to psychology, trading psychology, we haven't talked about that for a while, but if you have anything going on, any kind of fears, apprehensions, uncertainties, hesitations that you're dealing with, you know, the whole idea is to get some information, get a couple techniques, and just ask the question as you would a technical question. And so I'm here for you to do that. We're working with Bert to put together our webinar, and we are getting closer to the date. I believe the date is August. I think it's actually, I think we're going to do it the 26th, if I'm not mistaken. The 26th of, no, it's a Saturday. We're going to do, there it is, the 25th. We're going to do it on a Saturday. We're getting the links. We had a couple things we had to work through. I'm actually going to be seeing Bert and Leslie in Chicago on the 14th, and I might be seeing if we can somehow do something on the radio from the floor, because I'll be in the trading pits and in the ES. I'm going to try to walk behind what's his name on the floor there from CNBC. I'll try to walk behind him so you could see me.
Yeah, you can call in just like Ben used to.
Yeah, and I'll call in, and Ben and I will be together, and we'll try to give you some commentary from there, so that'll be fun. And so it's exciting.
That's great.
I love going to the floor. Oh, it's the best. If you haven't been to the trading floor in Chicago and seen what the pits are like, you should really, really do that. I don't know how long they're going to last, because it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But it is a fabulous, fabulous, exciting place to be, to see the pits in motion. It's really fabulous. And how they trade so quickly with their hands and hand signals and, you know, across from each other, they know exactly what's going on. It's really, it's like watching a ballet. You know, it really is an art.
Mm-hmm. It's great
in the end, though, as it goes away. When it finally goes away, it's just going to be a few guys clustered around a vending machine.
Yeah,
and like betting on which candy is. Never mind. Go ahead.
It's greatly diminished from its heyday.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it, but there are really good arguments, and Ben could go into those, and I think he has on this show. There are many, not just Ben, but many good arguments why the open outcry environment, while it has shrunk, you know, to a fraction of what it once was, it will never entirely go away. There actually is a need for that.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
So it'll always be there, but it's kind of more of a relic than.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to encourage people to not be, you know, you're typing in your questions. Nobody sees what you're, you know, who you are. If you have a psychology question, if you're stuck on something and you can't emotionally get through something, it's really important to get some help and move through it. And there's a lot of techniques that I have that work very nicely. They're easy. They're not hocus pocus. They're not going to make you feel uncomfortable. I've been in the business a long time. Probably 80% of my clients are men, so I'm used to dealing with male issues and what you go through from a trading perspective, because I trade, or I'm starting again. I have traded in the past, and I'm starting again this week. And you know, get help if you need it. Don't stay stuck. If you're not pulling the trigger, you're doing stuff from your conscious mind and your subconscious is hitting the keys the wrong way, then you need to get some help.
Yeah. No, that's true. I want to throw something in there. I think just one last thing I'd like to say is that I think it would be fair to say that at least 70% of trading skills that you're going to have to learn are psychological.
Yeah.
The whole business of actually placing a trade and you know whether where and when you place it, all that stuff, that's one set. But there's a whole lot of psychological skills you need to learn in order to trade well. And again, if you do learn to trade well and you can do it over a period of time, it's because you've learned to make right decisions. Right decisions are based on sound principles. Those sound principles won't always be right, but over time, those sound principles will keep you on the right side of the positive side. And you can continue to do very well. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's important to address those things because they will get you in the end. Those are the things that you need to maintain, learn to maintain control, learn to get yourself out of a bad emotional environment, know how to do that, and to really manage your thought process. Because that translates into how you touch the keys. And most traders, you know, don't think that it's a big part of the trading. They look at the strategy and whatever. They don't, you know, put an emphasis on it. But it ends up being the number one reason that traders don't make it, because they emotionally, you know, blow up or whatever. So the topic we're talking about in that webinar is going to be how to survive a trading blow up, which, you know, I've seen many, many times. And you will see it in your trading career. You typically can't avoid it. It's going to happen. You'll never talk to any trader out there that hasn't gone through a blow up that's successful. It just happens. The key thing is to minimize it, make it small, know it's about to happen, and be in control of it. So this is a real, real popular topic, and I think you're going to really like it. So I'm happy to do that. And so, you know, don't be afraid to ask the question when I'm on the air. Please don't be afraid to ask the question, because many more people in the room will probably thank you for it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So the psychological message for the weekend is to recharge. You know, take the weekend, recharge, let go of your charts. Don't look at everything all the time, 24/7. Take a break, be with your family. Make sure you're taking care of your family, your kids, your wife, your spouse, your significant other, whoever it is. Make sure that you're recharging yourself, you're getting your massage, your whatever it is. You know, make sure you recharge and then come back fresh for the market, because we're going now into the good season. So, you know, we want to be prepared emotionally and technically.
There you are.
Definitely take your trial. Check out Reflective Wave. Check out Dwayne's information for the trial, and get a bit of psychology at the same time. You got the whole thing here.
It's a package deal. All right, guys.
All right, Dwayne. Thank you very much. Everyone, have a great weekend. Thanks for the questions, Robin. I'll see you later. And
1:30.
Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Soon.
Thank you, Dwayne.
See you soon.
Notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day comes a new way.
All right, that's going to do it for me as well. I'll leave the hourly chart up and running. Next level overhead, weekly trading zone, 92.93. It's been hanging out up there all week. And, you know, we got a lot of bullish momentum in the day. Taking a little breather here for the last, 2.5 hours. But it would not surprise me when I come back to the charts later today to see that we have, in fact, spiked up there and grabbed the 92.93. We got within a point and a half, and weekly trading zones are an area, okay? It's like here on this one down at 54.55. See how we closed right at 54? We spiked, Then we closed back at 54. And then we closed one tick below, you know, and then off we went. An area. Okay? Now, we get used to seeing turns right at the zone, but always remember it's an area. And as long as price stays above the blue MA1, that's the backbone of our indicator set, the CFMA1, as long as it stays north of that, good chance we go to C92.93. And if price gets on the backside of the MA1, okay, then the chances of us seeing 92.93 become greatly diminished. In fact, we could, if that were to happen, and there's 2 hours left in trading today, if we get on the backside of the MA1, then the target becomes 73.74, where the market was very comfortable for most of the week. Okay? But right now, looks like 92.93 on tap. All right. It is the weekend. Spend quality time with your family. Of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.